Well, I'd like to wish you all a very Merry Christmas, and thanks for being here on our Christmas Sunday. You know, it's funny how quickly this season seems to sneak up on us every year when we start doing decorations in later November. And didn't Miss Victoria do an awesome job this year getting everything in order and planning and executing it? It really looks awesome. But every year when they start showing up in November, people are like, it's too soon. And then 3 weeks later, hey, we're at Christmas already, so we might as well take all the time we can to enjoy it. But we've got just a few days before Christmas comes. And so we're here today just to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And this kicked off everything that he would do in his life. His birth set the tone for the sacrifice that he was going to make on your behalf. And Pastor Robin's already done a bunch of talking, and I'm going to try and keep things as short as possible. And the joke is, whenever I say we're going to go short, I do not possess the ability to do that, but I will do my very best. For the last 14 weeks, we've been on our series on the armor of God, and specifically the last 7 weeks, we've been looking at the shoes of peace that come from the good news that leave you fully prepared, and it's fully left us in the perfect spot for Christmas. And I can't take any credit for that, because my plan was we'd do 1 or 2 weeks on peace and move on, and we did 7. And I like what Mark Hankins used to say. He's like, if you listen to the Holy Spirit, he'll make you look good, he'll make you look smart. And so I can't take any credit for it, but it left us in the perfect spot for Christmas. And so I want to look at some aspects of the Christmas story this morning out of the book of Luke. And I like doing it out of the book of Luke because Luke was not a first-hand observer. Luke got all of his information from interviewing the various people that were involved in the stories. And so Luke, he was a doctor that traveled around with the Apostle Paul. And wherever they would go, he was constantly recording because he was an educated man. You know, we know about the apostles themselves, that the high priest said of them, that we know that they're unlearned and ignorant men, but they had been with Jesus. Something changed them. Well, with Luke, Luke was an educated man, and he took it upon himself to research and find out, okay, who saw what, who heard what actually happened. And so he wrote to his publisher, a man named Theophilus, and said, having a perfect understanding, I thought it was right that I should write this to you. And so he wrote the book of Luke, and he wrote the book of Acts. And so in the book of Luke, we see a complete story from his research and his interviews with people who were present. And so we see things in the book of Luke that you don't see elsewhere. We see things like Mary pondered all these things in her heart. Well, how did he know that? Well, he traveled with Paul when he went into Jerusalem. And we often think that the other characters of the story just, like, you know, they had their part and disappeared. No, they were still living in Jerusalem while they were coming through there. And so Luke got his information from them. He would have talked with Mary. He would have talked with the characters that we see in the story. And we often start the story of Jesus in the latter half of chapter 1 and into chapter 2. But I like starting earlier, because there's some important aspects that we miss if we start too late. And the story of Jesus really starts with the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth, some family members of Mary. And it starts like this. Zacharias and Elizabeth were barren. And they were of age, they weren't able to have children, and they've now gotten older. And Zacharias was from the lineage of Aaron, which meant he was from the priestly line. And that's an important note, because by the time Jesus comes on the scene, they're no longer following the priestly lineage. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were becoming high priests they was being sold to the highest bidder, meaning like the powerful and the rich had taken over and corrupted a lot. But it says that he's from the line of Aaron, which means he's from that legitimate priestly line that God had ordained through Aaron. And it says that when it was his time to serve in the local synagogue, that as he was in there doing what he needed to do, that the angel Gabriel shows up standing beside the table of incense. And Zacharias begins to freak out, as I think any of you would, if all of a sudden you turned around and there's a brightly glowing angel standing there. And so the angel Gabriel says, don't be afraid. You know, I've got good things to say to you. This is a good visit. You know, it's always better to have a good visit than a bad visit, right? And the angel says, well, I've heard yours and Elizabeth's prayer, and you're going to have a child. And he tells them all the great things that the child's going to do. And the reason I always like to start there in the story of Jesus' birth is because of Zacharias' response. The angel came and gave him a message directly from God. And Zacharias' response was this: how's that going to happen? I'm old and my wife is old. That is never something good to say about your wife. I'm too old for this and my wife's too old for this. How could that happen? And he's not looking for the details of how this is going to happen. It's a scoffing remark. That couldn't happen to me. And oftentimes when we're confronted with the promises of God and what he said about us, we often are met with that same scoffing, like, how would that ever happen to me? You don't know where I've been. You don't know what's happened to me. This is where I am. And I just don't think that what you're saying, God, is possible for me. And that was the response of Zacharias in this situation. Now we compare that to Mary. We move a little bit further down in chapter 1, and we find that the same angel, Gabriel, comes to Mary, and he comes before her and says, hey, you are blessed and highly favored among women. And Luke says that Mary's response was, what kind of greeting is that? This is not a usual visit. And the angel says, you have been chosen by God to bring his son into this earth. And her questioning back to God, to the angel, is not the same as Zacharias. Where Zacharias said, ha, ha, that'll never happen. And in my study Bible, when Zacharias says that, it links it to Genesis 17:17, where God said to Abraham, you and Sarah are going to have a kid. And he said, should I have a kid in my old age? I'm 100 and my wife ain't far behind me. And so it was a scoff. But Mary's response is much different than Zacharias's. Mary says, how is this going to happen, seeing as I haven't known a man? Her question was about the details. One, because she's a woman. They care more about the details than the guys, right? Come on. She says, I know biology. This is not possible. How should things go about from here? Hers wasn't a response of scoffing. Hers was a response of logistics. And the angel says, it's okay. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and you shall conceive. And that which you conceive will be from God. And you'll bring forth a son and you'll name his name Jesus. Now let's go back to Zacharias. Zacharias says, how can this happen to me? I'm old, my wife is old. And the angel, his response back to him is this: do you not know who I am? I am Gabriel. I am the messenger angel. I have been sent forth from the presence of God to deliver this message to you. Do you not know who's telling you that this is going to happen? And this is important as we move forward in our series. As the next step after our shoes of peace that we've done 7 weeks, we're moving on to the shield of faith. And when it comes to faith, faith begins where the will of God is known. Let's go ahead and say that with me. Faith begins where the will of God is known. And oftentimes we hear about things like blind faith, like, oh, go ahead and just believe it. That's not faith. The faith of God is not blind. It doesn't ask you to believe in nothing. It asks you to believe what he has said. And so faith will always begin with what God has said. You don't have to know all of the details. All you have to know is what God has said, and it shall come to pass when I come into an alignment and an agreement with him. And so Zacharias was, I can't agree with that. I'm old. Mary was, how can I get into alignment with what you're saying? And so the angel didn't like Zacharias' response, and he says, you know what? You're going to be mute until this comes to pass. And what he was saying, he's like, I am not going to let your negative words and your unbelief get in the way of the seed that God is trying to sow into the earth right now. You're going to have a baby, and you're going to name his name John. And we fast forward in the story. We see that that Elizabeth becomes pregnant, and after she comes to term, she has a baby. And that whole time, Zacharias, he's mute, can't say anything. And she has the baby, and her family asks her, what do you want to call him? And she said, his name will be John. And his family says back to her, why are you calling him John? There's nobody named John in your family. And that might seem like an odd statement, but in Jewish culture, what they would do is they would name their kids after important people in their families, or the other line of naming would be historical figures and military leaders. And so they were looking, saying like, why would you call him John? We don't have a John in our family. And they said, well, forget about what Elizabeth wants. Let's ask Zacharias. Never ask the man. Whatever the wife said, that was good enough. And so they come to Zacharias, who's mute, and they say, what do you want to call him, Zacharias? And he says, give me something to write on. And he scribbles down on the tablet, and he says, his name is John. And in that moment, his voice is loosed, and he's able to speak again. And it's interesting that why God said to call him John. Do you know what John means? John means Jehovah is a gracious giver. John was going before Jesus, who would be Jehovah's gift. And he's saying, Jehovah is a gracious giver, and John's going before him to prepare that way for Jesus. And so he says, his name shall be John. And in that moment, his voice is loosed again, and he begins to glorify and honor God, and the Spirit of God comes upon him, and he begins to prophesy over baby John. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 76 is where we'll pick it up. And it says, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the dayspring from on high has visited us. It says, with which the dayspring from on high has visited us. And with that word dayspring doesn't mean anything to us, right? We don't use that word. Do you know what dayspring means? It means sunrise. It's meaning that the sunrise from on high has come. Why did they call Jesus the sunrise? Because a new day had dawned and everything was different. It's no longer yesterday. It's no longer what was. The sun has risen. It's a new day and new things are breaking forth. And those things that are breaking forth are from heaven on high. The sun has risen. Oh, and God is just so faithful that today, you know, in December, we don't often get a lot of sun, right? We get a lot of cloud. But it's amazing that today as we're singing, his name is Jesus, his name is Jesus, light of the world. Come on, the sun just began to shine through those windows this morning. As we're singing, radiant beams from thy holy face, the sun shining. As I began to say, talk about the dayspring, guess what? The sun began to shine in the windows again, right there. Come on, because a new day has dawned, a sun has risen, and everything changes because of it. And it's unfortunate that so many Christians, when they come to Jesus, they treat it as everything is the same and nothing has changed. No, everything has changed because Jesus has entered onto the scene. And my life can change because he's come into it. He's the dayspring, the sunrise from on high that has visited us. But you notice there in the English that the last thing we see in that sentence is a semicolon. And what we need to know about a semicolon is that it's connecting what comes next to this. It's connecting it to the sunrise from on high has visited us. And those next sentences could stand alone, but they want you to know they don't stand alone. They are connected. And what comes next? What has visited us because of the sunrise of Jesus? He's visited us to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet where? Into the way of peace. And so for 7 weeks, we've been talking about the shoes of peace that come from the good news, that leave us fully prepared. Why? Because what Jesus came to do was to guide your feet into the way of peace. And so when we think about the birth of Jesus, we think about it from this way. Peace has come. Come on, you ever found yourself in the position of thinking, I just need a little peace? You don't need a little peace. Peace has come. As we've talked a lot about over the last 7 weeks, that Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. Not like the world considers peace, but as I have peace, I give it unto you. And we've talked about that word being the word Irini, which is where we get our name Irene, which means peace. That word Irini means safety, security, provision, and felicity, or happiness and joy. There is safety and security because the sun has risen upon you. There is a provision and a joy that flows forth from the Lord because the sun has risen upon you. Paul has told us that he, Jesus, himself is our peace, who has made both of us one and has broken down that middle wall of separation. As Paul said, that therefore we have been justified with peace, by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And so it's interesting, when peace comes on the scene and faith takes hold with it, what does it spring forth out of it? Rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. And that's exactly where the story of Jesus goes. We know that John is born, and then next comes Jesus is born. And we'll pick that up in Luke chapter 2. It says, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this census took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. And so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee out of his own city, the city of Nazareth, into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. And now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields and watching over their flock by night. And behold, an angel stood before them. And that was the name of the second song we did today, was Behold. It's all of a sudden like suddenly you had no choice but to look because something spectacular is happening. Behold, take a look. And an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth what? Peace. and goodwill toward men. Glory to God. I rejoice in the glory of God. I give him my highest glory, my highest praise, because peace has come. I have peace. I have safety and security and provision and joy, and I have goodwill. There's goodwill towards men. I love that second part, goodwill towards men, because so much of religion, when you hear them speak, you would think that God is a grouchy old bugger who sits up on the throne wanting to smack you at the slightest thing you could do. No, he has goodwill towards men. Jeremiah says that God knows the thoughts that he thinks towards you. I'm glad he knows the thoughts he thinks, because most of us don't know. And he says those are thoughts of peace, thoughts to prosper you, thoughts to give you a future and a hope, thoughts of good and not of evil. Come on, I'm so glad that God knows the thoughts he thinks about me. And maybe I should conform the way I think about me to the way God thinks about me. There's goodwill towards men. God thinks good things about you. He has good plans for you. He wants to bring you through the valley of the shadow of death. He doesn't want to leave you there. He brings you out with his rod and his staff. What do? They comfort you. Comfort is an outflow of peace. When he speaks and when he leads and when he guides, that peace just surrounds you and brings comfort. It says, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I don't need to have no problems in order to walk in peace. I don't need to have the absence of problems in order to feast and partake of what the Lord has prepared for me, because there's peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Come on, and when he talks about peace on earth, he wasn't talking about the cessation of wars. And that's, his disciples often got that wrong. They would say to him, is this the time now that you're going to restore the kingdom unto Israel? What they're saying is like, we want to push these Roman guys out. We're tired of living under their thumb. We don't want to pay tribute to Caesar. Let's free the nation and we can all have a good time here without them. No, he wasn't talking about the cessation of war. And guess what? As long as you're here and as long as the devil and the enemy is in the earth, there's going to be problems, because he likes to stir up problems. It says he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But God, Jesus, he sent Jesus into the earth that we might have life and life more abundantly. He brought a peace that passes understanding, that guards your hearts and mind, and he has goodwill towards men. And it says, so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us go now to Bethlehem and see the thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. What a great perspective for the shepherds to have. It wasn't enough just to know. I want to see. I want to experience. I want to go and see what God has said he's done. Come on, let us see what God has done. There's so many Christians are just content to listen and hear and hear and hear. No, I don't want to listen and hear. That's good. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But I'm not just content only to know. We get to experience what God has prepared for us. Jesus' prayer while he was here on this earth, he said, Lord, let your kingdom come as on earth as it is in heaven. He didn't say, keep the good things in heaven for when we get there. No, he said, Lord, let's bring heaven to earth. And he did that with the gift of Jesus. So the angel says, let's go check out this awesome thing. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Come on, it's amazing. When you have an experience with God, the first thing you should be doing is starting telling everybody about the goodness of God. They began to tell everybody about what had been done, what the angels had said, and what they had seen. Why? Because it's not just for me and no more. No, it's for those around us, that we share the goodness of God with them so that they can partake with us. And it says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds did what? They returned, glorifying and praising God for the things which they had heard, the things that they had seen, and the things that were told them. Come on, as I read that, as I was preparing this week, I couldn't help but think of what we've been looking at for the last 7 weeks about peace. So the angels, or the shepherds here, they praised God for the things that they had heard, the things that they had seen, and what was told them. And we've been reading out of Philippians that finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, if there's a good report in them, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, we meditate, we think on these things. The things which you learned, the things which you received, the things which you heard, then saw in me, these do, and the peace of God will be with you. So the angels, they declare the birth of Jesus. And what did the shepherds do? I want to go see that. They went and saw. And then what did they do? They glorified God. Come on, the way of peace is what you hear, respond to it. What God has said to you, put it into practice. And you'll find yourself walking into the peace of God, which passes understanding, that guards your hearts and minds. But as the angels themselves sung to the shepherds, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Now, if my voice was in a little bit better spot this morning, we'd probably sing, glory, but it's not there. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Now, during this Christmas season, it's inevitable that you're probably going to face a little chaos. Come on, these are busy times, and we're busy people, and we travel here and there, and there's lots to do. I want you to keep at the forefront of your thoughts this Christmas, peace has come. It came in the form of a little baby Jesus, but that peace that came has never left. He left that peace with you. You have safety. No matter what happens this Christmas season, you have safety to draw from. You know, I said this a few years ago, that as we travel here and there, there can be a pressure that I've got to be here. I've got to go do this. No, you need to listen to the Holy Spirit where you need to be. If he's saying, maybe you should stay in and not venture out in that storm, how about you stay in? Come on. We listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and he keeps us safe and secure. Come on. If you're like, well, but I have to see my family. No, you have to listen to the Holy Spirit. There's peace on earth. There's safety and security. There's provision in Jesus. This can be a time where there's a lot of pressure that I have to keep up with those around you. No, you don't. You need to give the gifts that God leads you to give. Come on. And he is the great provider. He will always give you everything that you need. Come on. We don't have to have the pressure to be and to do. Peace has come. But I love the last part. There's safety, there's security, there's provision. In this season, there's joy and happiness. Why? Because the sun has risen. The sun has risen, a new day has dawned. I don't have to live at how it's been. I live in the light of his glorious good news. And so, Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he was obedient to come when you sent him. He was obedient to do what you asked him to do. We thank you that in our lives, we can live out of that light that has risen upon us. We thank you, Lord, we can live out of the light of the good news that brings peace, that leaves us fully prepared for every situation. And so we thank you, Lord, that we keep you at the forefront of our thoughts in this Christmas season, that Jesus, this is about you. And because of what you've done, we can now be a light to those around us. And we thank you for it, Lord. We give you all the glory, Lord. Oh, we honor you for who you are. We honor you for what you've done. Oh, we give you glory, Jesus. Glory in the highest. Glory in the highest. Glory to you, Lord. Glory to you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We give you all honor and glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a minute, our word care team is going to be up here at the front. Normally, they'd be over here, but this morning, Toph and Jess will be over here. If you need prayer for anything, they would love to believe with you, agree with you, celebrate with you, testify with you. Whatever you need, avail yourself of them. For the rest of us, we've got coffee and tea. And for kids, there's some giant lollipops that Pastor Wendy has got for you all. Make sure to get one before you leave. And for you adults, if you care, there's some chocolate over on this side. But let's have some good fellowship and celebrate this Christmas season together. You are blessed and dismissed.